Welcome to Pleasing God, a program that is designed to give you Bible answers to Bible questions pertinent to our salvation, as well as talking about interesting topics and things that are important as to how we're to live, both as individuals and how we are supposed to worship God in the churches, the local churches, and what we are allowed to do by God's Word and what we are forbidden to do. And as individuals, we live for God and we work to please Him as individuals, and local churches make it their aim to just please God and not add to the Word or subtract from the Word, we'll find that God will be pleased. For if God is not pleased, we don't have God. We don't have His approval. And that is not right, and that will be dealt with on the day of judgment. Again, my name is Mark Ward, and I can't thank you for taking some of your time to tune in Monday through Friday for 15 minutes to study the Word of God on this program. And I hope that you will tell others about the program and that you will give serious consideration to what is taught. James 3 and verse 1 teaches, "Be not many teachers, for the teachers are going to have a heavier judgment." And so, I'm going to be judged by what I preach and teach. And if I teach error, then I'm leading you down a wrong path. And I will go to the bad place forevermore if I don't catch myself, change, make correction with God, and as widely as possible make that correction with mankind, and then begin to faithfully teach God's Word. That's what repentance would be from one who was that it was in error and changed to that which is right. And I don't care how slight the error is. It could be something slight, seemingly, but be major. When we go to Acts, the 18th chapter, we're going to find a man that was really one that I would have loved to heard. And I don't know if there are going to be any reruns of Life in Heaven, but if I'm in heaven, I would like to see this rerun because it has a happy ending, if you will. In Acts, the 18th chapter, in verse 24, I have what God wants me to know about it now. And that's sufficient, even if there are no reruns in heaven of good activity. But in Acts 24, the Bible says, Acts 18, verse 24, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man," notice, "and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'We have not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what were you then baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying that the people that they should believe on him, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.'" Notice that the Holy Spirit did not come upon them until the apostle laid hands on him, but they obeyed the gospel when they heard the preaching, and they responded by being baptized in the name of the Lord. Those are two different things, two different actions, two different activities in that day. The point I'm making is there are teachers and preachers, men and women, that are going about teaching things that are mostly accurate from the Word of the Lord. But some of the things they're teaching that are not accurate are so important that the sin is grievous when people follow the error. Oh, Mark, you're being too picky. Am I? It made a difference between these people being Christians and right with God and not. Because if they stayed with the baptism of John, both in Apollos' case that's mentioned to start in Acts 18, and in the people that Apollos went to after he learned the truth from Aquila and Priscilla and made the adjustment in his teaching. He didn't have to teach everything different. He was doing a good job except for an area that the Bible points out to us, that a person that was mighty in the Scriptures was leading people astray. He wasn't teaching the whole counsel of God, as Paul mentioned. Paul did in Acts 20, verses 20 through 26. And not only is the teacher to be condemned and rebuked in error, but with love, this couple, a husband and wife, who were Christians, took him aside because he was going into the synagogue and preaching the baptism of John. The baptism of John was preparatory as part of John the Baptist's ministry, which was in totality preparatory, to the ministry of Christ and the introduction of the gospel age that happened in Acts 2, even though Jesus preached about it and taught many things that would be in effect from Acts 2 Pentecost forward. Jesus lived and died as a Jew under the law of Moses, and he lived under that law perfectly. But he began to teach as he drew his disciples to him and picked his apostles, and they went with him in his earthly ministry, meaning Christ, that the baptism of the Great Commission, the baptism in the name of Jesus, the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the baptism in the name of Christ. They're not three baptisms. Those aren't. They're all synonyms referring to being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins that happened in Acts 2:38, that's referred to in 1 Peter 3:21, that is mentioned in Acts 16, or 22, verse 16, when Paul was converted from being a Jew to becoming a disciple and follower of Christ, a New Testament Christian. So when people teach the wrong thing about baptism, they may not be having their followers become true Christians. Apollos was not teaching the right thing about baptism. He was confused with regard to the baptism of John versus the baptism of the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." 1 Peter 3:21 says, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a clean conscience toward God." We need to get it right on things that are matters of salvation, matters of sin or not sin. So much so that we must recognize God helps us by putting the example of Apollos in Acts 18, beginning in verse 24, and carrying over into chapter 19 about those of us who are teachers need to wake up and check ourselves with the Word of God. Apollos was not rebuked for going into the synagogue and talking about what was right and trying to help people. We need more of that today, and I welcome, especially when COVID is over, that we use facilities where we can come together and have one or more sides of topics over which there is division being discussed in love and earnestly, and with proper decorum and respect for each other in God's Word, so we don't gloss over significant differences with regard to what is taught around this town and all over the world concerning the gospel of Christ and how individuals are to live and act and how churches are to operate and what is to be taught as truth applying to both the individuals and the churches. God is not happy with religious division, and it gets solved correctly the way that Apollos got on board and then became in unison in teaching with that which is right, which is what Aquila and Priscilla on this occasion were believing, obeying, and following and teaching. So once Apollos got right, he's now on board, and then Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos are in unison, are in agreement, are in fellowship with what is right and everyone else who is right on those matters. Oh, Mark, you're being too picky. Am I? If there was nothing wrong with what Apollos was doing, why did Aquila and Priscilla take him aside? And the Bible says, explain to him the way of God more accurately. They didn't just give him a better insight and he just said, well, it doesn't matter, I'll keep preaching the baptism of John. He was in error. And he needed to change. We need to have the same type of attitude. And Apollos is being to be commended for being willing to change from that which is wrong to that which is right. Oh no, we shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and be over here one day, be over there one day. We need to have roots in the truth and be grounded in the truth. But what is truth? John 17:17 says, and was it not Jesus speaking? We're going to disagree with him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's coming in a beautiful passage of Scripture where Jesus is giving what some call the model prayer. I know in Matthew 6 we have what some call the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's a wonderful prayer. But don't overlook the prayer of Jesus in John 17, talking to the Father, that he wants his disciples to be one. He wants us to be united just like the Father and the Son are one. They're not one in the same person in the Godhood. They're two different persons or personalities, but they are one in agreement, in unity. And the Godhead members, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are in agreement, in unity, and purpose, and in truth, and in love, and in justice, and in mercy. And God is love, and God is light, and God is spirit. But God recognizes what is sin and what is error. So, Jesus, in praying to the Father, says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, Jesus praying to the Heavenly Father while he was on earth. Your word is truth. It's the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, that the preachers and teachers, all Christians, should believe, teach, and practice. You can believe the truth and not teach it. You can believe it and you can teach it, but you might not practice it yourself. The devil doesn't care. Just pick one out of three or two out of three, but don't do all three, because then you're not on the devil's team anymore. If you're believing the truth and you're teaching the truth and you're obeying the truth, you're in God's team. You're not on the devil's team. But you see, Apollos wasn't fully on the Lord's team. He was doing a lot of good teaching, but he was missing out on something essential. And he was corrected and he went forward after repenting and learning better. And that's what we should all do. And that's what spiritual growth really is it not? Learning something that we didn't know was wrong, making correction, asking forgiveness with God and men if it involves others, and go forward and just do better. Pleasing God, the name of this program. Biblically based, referring to Scripture to answer questions and talk about topics that are necessary unto our salvation. Am I offensive? I hope not. But if God's Word offends, I can't help that. It needs to be delivered in love. I love my soul enough to teach it as I understand it, knowing that I'll be judged for it. I love you. Tune back in. Let's have another good study again here on Joy 100.3. Monday through Friday, noon for 15 minutes. Please tune in and tell others about the program. God bless you. Have a good day.